Radio Berkshire.
I think it probably was, unless I stand corrected. 19 minutes to 8 now. Fevzi Turkalp is here. He is the gadget detective and always has been. How are you, Fevzi?
Good morning. Yes, I'm well, thanks.
This is all good, Fevzi. Lots to talk about this morning, including a gigantic deal in the mobile phone industry. I recently had to buy a new cell phone, Fevzi. I think I told you about this. I cracked the screen on my Samsung. Yes. So I went to the phone shop and I wanted to pick something else, maybe one of the same type or the latest generation of it. And I looked at them and I saw these HTC phones. And I said to the guy, oh, that's an interesting brand. I've read some reviews about them. And he said, oh, I don't know anything about them. I wouldn't buy one of those. So I ended up buying another Samsung. But HTC are a pretty big deal, and they're about to get bigger, aren't they?
Yeah, so HTC used to be the fifth biggest manufacturer of mobile phones, and they've always made very good phones. I mean, they've been some amazing handsets. In fact, Google has its own brand of phone called Pixel, which it doesn't manufacture itself, but it Pixel phones are designed to be sort of best of breed, a kind of showcase to other manufacturers of what Android phones can be like. And those Pixel phones are actually made by HTC. However, HTC, despite making great phones, has been having some financial worries because it hasn't been able to compete. It hasn't had the sort of marketing spend of certainly the likes of Apple, but also Samsung. And it sort of struggled. So there were rumors that Google was going to buy it, similar to the way that they bought Motorola Mobility back in 2011, although that didn't go well for them. But what's actually happened is that they've funded HTC with $1.1 billion. They haven't actually taken a stake in the company, but the rumor has it they're taking about a half, that's about 1,000 of the staff, are transferring from HTC into a Google team, and they're going to be working on the future Pixel phones. So it's kind of interesting because I think Google has realized that Apple has an advantage in that it makes the operating system and the hardware, and it can do some very special things with that. And I think Google's trying to do something similar by bringing HTC know-how in-house. So I think the short of it is we're going to see some very interesting products coming out of Google.
In my time of owning a smartphone, which is, you know, probably shorter than most people, but I've owned smartphones from Sony, Samsung, and LG. Mm. And all of them have a slightly different take on Android, and the Android version is executed in slightly different ways on all of those phones.
Yeah.
And all of them have their drawbacks. You know, they're all different, and I couldn't really, you know, there's not a cigarette paper you could put between any one of them because they have advantages, each of them. Now, if somebody could design a phone, you know, and Google being the people who are the front runners in this because it's their system, if somebody could design a phone that had the best of all of those phones, then they'd be a market leader, I think.
Yeah, so the advantage of having a Google phone is that it runs what's called stock Android. That's to say Android in its purest form without all, you know, the layer of software that Samsung put on it to try and differentiate themselves and all this. And that means that you get the updates more quickly. You can do the updates in the same way that Apple do the updates. You don't have to wait for Samsung to do their version of the update, which, you know, may or may not ever come, as it were. So this will give you a more Apple-like experience owning a Google phone, a Pixel, as it's called at the moment.
While we're talking about phones, one quick question, and the only reason I'm asking this, it's something that affected me this week, Fevzi, to do with an Android smartphone, a Samsung actually. It's the replacement that I bought, and it's only because I've been looking up online and seeing that lots of people have been having this same issue. The mail, the Android mail that I picked for it, and all mails, in fact, that I've subsequently tried, all of them allow me to use mail for a few days, and I don't know whether you'll have heard of this one, and then prompt me for the password. Now, my first feeling, because I'm really suspicious, is that my phone has been hacked, and this is somebody trying to steal my password. But is this, as far as you know, you may not be aware of this at all, a feature of some Android phones, that it's prompting me, even after I've given it my password to retain, a few days later, it's asking me again, whichever client that I use, whichever email that I put on there, it's asking me for my email address. And this seems to be a common problem.
Yeah, it sounds more like a glitch than a feature, security feature to me. I mean, I see that, for example, in Outlook on my desktop as well. So sometimes, you know, email clients do get a bit confused and require resetting. I would look into it, but as I say, I think it sounds more like a glitch than a feature.
Because so far I've tried some very good, well-reviewed ones. I've tried the Outlook version, which I didn't really like. I've tried K9 that was quite good and is well-reviewed, and the Samsung proprietary one, and they've all asked for the password after about 2 or 3 days,
which is strange, because if it's been working, you know, up until, I mean, presumably it has the password, so I don't know. And if you provide it, does it ask for it again in a few more days?
Well, I haven't even let it get that far. What I've done is I've just replaced it with another email service to see if it does that. It's just an interesting one, and I'm only mentioning it because I've read on a lot of Android user forums that it seems to be a common problem, and possibly with current versions. Okay, let's get to the gadget of the week then, Fevzi, which is something else from Logitech.
Yeah, so Logitech, well-known provider of accessories, and they do things for, amongst other things, Apple iPads, and particularly the iPad Pro, which has been touted by Apple as potentially a replacement for your laptop computer. Well, that's all well and good, but it doesn't have a keyboard other than the one that comes up on the screen. And nice though that is, the problem with using an on-screen keyboard is you lose half of the screen to the keyboard. You can't see what would otherwise be on the screen where the keyboard is. So they produce something called the Slim Combo, and it's a two-piece case for an iPad Pro. It comes for both the 10.5 and the 12.9-inch Pro. The back section just clips on the back and protects the back. And the nice thing you notice about that immediately is there's a kickstand on the back that you can put any angle for up, you know, a very wide range of angles, over 100 degrees, I think. So you can just pitch it up at any angle that you like, prop it up in portrait mode if you're doing sort of FaceTime video conferencing, or just prop it up in any way you like. The other piece of it... Sorry.
It's incredibly neat. I'm just wondering, how do you connect it? I can't see a USB connector on this.
No, it's a very good question, actually, because one of the unique features of the iPad Pro is that there's this, what's called a smart connector, which is three metal dots in a row along one of the long edges. And all that happens is that you put it... There we go.
Lock. Sound effects as well, then.
So there we are. So that's a magnetic lock. That just clicks on, and those three connectors mean that you don't have to pair it to the keyboard with Bluetooth. It works effectively through a wired connection
which is going to be faster and better.
So the keyboard is of the quality of a laptop computer, full travel keys, and Apple do something themselves called the smart keyboard, but that has a number of problems. First of all, it doesn't have rear protection. There's no case at the rear. Secondly, it's a fixed angle. You can't tilt it to whatever angle you like. Thirdly, the keys are not backlit. And fourthly, there's no smart keys to help you navigate iOS. Whereas the Logitech has all of those things and is £50 cheaper. So price-wise, £109 for the 10.5-inch version and £119 for the 12.9-inch iPad Pro version. I've given it 4 stars. It's not perfect, but it's one of the best keyboards out there and actually better than the Apple offering and £50 cheaper. So I thought that's worth covering.
Well held, Fevzi Turkamp. Thank you for getting up at the crack of dawn to do this this morning. If people want to connect with you and do what I did, ask you a tech question, what do they do? Where do they go?
Come and say hello on Twitter is the best way. Follow me at Gadget Detective. Say hello, ask a question. Shoot the breeze, whatever you like.
Thanks, Fevzi. Have a lovely week. We'll talk in 7 days from now. Fevzi Turkalp is the Gadget Detective.